Does your heart good to hear these young people singing out, I'm going to follow Jesus. What a wonderful song. Thank you. Well, Brother Nathan gets he did a good job last time, but I thought he needs another crack at it. No, I'm just teasing. He really was encouraged and looking forward to him just getting this experience through the summer. So he's going to preach every other Sunday evening. So that's my sacrifice, but I'm really looking forward to what he has from the Word of God for us this evening. So Brother Nathan, come.
Thank you again. If I had to say there was an era of history that I enjoy the most, it's probably Civil War. And I have a quote here of a man, Abe Lincoln specifically. It says, "I desire to conduct the affairs of this administration that, if at the end, when I come to lay down the reins of power, I have lost every other friend on earth, I shall at least have one friend left, and that is the friend that shall be down inside of me." And you know, that quote is quite interesting when you think of integrity, and that's what we're going to be looking at today, integrity. The passage of scripture we're looking at is Psalms chapter 26. Psalms chapter 26. This psalm kind of fascinates me. I mean, let me put it this way. There are many times where you come across somebody, and maybe it's just happened to me. As a young kid, I'd like to listen more than I would ever talk. And it would just be me where I'd sit back and try and analyze people and see what they were doing or how they were doing it to try to best figure out, okay, well, how can I accomplish that when I'm in that situation? And there's certain people where it just kind of like went way over my head, and I just sat there and thought, they know something about life that I don't. Like, I have yet to figure that out. And I don't know, it's happened to me every once in a while, but there was a guy working outside, and it was something he continually did outside, and it wasn't anything big, but yet the thought came across my mind, he just knows something about life I don't. And sure, at some point, maybe in maturity, I might get there where I figure out, oh, hey, that's what it was that he was doing. But you know, I think there's some aspect in this where in Psalms 26, there's a point where David kind of knows something a little bit more than what I can say I know. And so God's had me on a journey with this psalm really for quite some time. And I just want to express to you kind of where it is that the Lord is taking me and he's guiding me through this psalm. Let's go ahead and read the passage. It says, "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart, for thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash mine hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving, and tell of all thy wondrous works, Lord, that I have loved the habitation of thy house in the place where thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me, and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord." Let's go open a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this passage. Lord, I thank you that David brought forth this passage so that we can see it and examine even ourselves through his own testimony. And so, Lord, as we look here tonight, Lord, that you would guide through it, and that you'd use my words to be able to just articulate the message that you have. In Jesus' name, amen. It's quite interesting to me that David is the one that wrote this. When we think of integrity and we think of David, a certain story comes to mind, and that is Bathsheba. Bathsheba was not necessarily David's high point. In fact, when we think about how much sin David had during that time, it actually took a whole other man to come up to him and say, "You are the man that has sinned." And so when we try and compare that with the idea of integrity, we come up with the idea that, okay, well, integrity is somehow something that you just have to obtain slowly. And it is, to a certain extent. However, I think David's instance here quite explains himself as to how it is. But I think in contrast between the integrity of David and, let's say, the integrity of Achan, there is quite a contrast between the two. One accepts his fault. When he's pointed out and he says, "You have sinned," he recognizes it before God and he says, "Yes, I have sinned." However, for Achan, it's a different story. When he gets pointed, or when it is noticed that there is sin in the camp, then Joshua has to go through all of the different tribes. And at the point in which he gets the tribe that Achan is in, it is chosen. And there's no way this is private to the rest of Israelites. Everybody knows. And yet Achan's thinking, "Oh, surely that wasn't the big thing. It's not me." And then he gets down to the actual house leaders, and he goes one by one through each one of them. And they finally get to the house of Achan. And Achan's like, "Oh, no, that's not me." Until the very man Achan is chosen, and then he recognizes, "Yes, okay, it was me." And you know, there's a difference between being recognizing your fault and having someone else recognize it for you. And the truth is that's a difference in integrity. David has another story when he went to Goliath. He was told to bring 10 cheese. And I could almost guarantee he did. Why do I say that? Because when he went to go and attack the giants, his father still yet giving him a command, there's no way he would have been able to defeat the giants had he disobeyed his father. And so his integrity was intact, albeit we all fail. And that is something that sometimes we forget, that the people around us fail, that we fail. And it's okay to come before God humbly, recognize our failure, and get back on ground. God is more than sufficient to fulfill all our needs, and specifically the need of grace. He always fulfills it. And so when we think about this story of David coming into this story, he's pouring out his heart before God. And I'd like to show you a few principles from this passage that I see as a man of integrity, a man that truly has defined himself as being worthy of integrity. Now, what is integrity? Well, we could say that a building has integrity. Okay, sure, it has a found structure. We could say a document has integrity. These things are not necessarily things we see within the actual physicalness of it, but it's simply the structure or how it was created behind the walls or who created it as far as the document. But when we're talking about moral integrity, it has the idea of being innocent, of being blameless. In fact, in the Old Testament, this one word of integrity is used over 100 times. One is when the man shot Ahab. The king was taken, switched places, and as trying to disguise himself from being king, he went into a chariot of his own and took off. So the king of Israel is trying to hide. He's not known who it was, and the enemy didn't know who he was. However, it says in the passage, a certain man drew his bow at a venture and shot. The word "at a venture" is the exact same word we have integrity. So in other words, it's almost innocently. He innocently pulled his bow, not really knowing, not really understanding who it was he was shooting. And at the moment he releases, he finds out it was the king. And so in the same way, this word integrity, we can find it as a innocence. Now, granted, entire innocency in our life is not a bit able. Like, we are human. We will continue to sin. I think the same idea of being perfect. You can't ever reach a certain place in which you have reached a certain peak where you can no longer sin. And yet the truth is God doesn't ever want us to become satisfied with where we are. A Christian's life should never be characterized by surprise and victory. Rather, it should be a sustained victory surprised by defeat. And that is how a Christian's life should be. And when we recognize integrity, that comes back into it, recognizing that a person should live in innocency. They should live in blamelessness. They should live in wholeness. In fact, that's another word. When it says, with the purity of all my heart, the word purity or pure literally means integrity, or is the word integrity. And so these different words create a more rounded out view of what integrity is. It's someone that is innocent. It's someone that's blameless. It's someone that is, it has, so let's see here, it's, is blameless, is, just a moment, is whole, is honest. Now, let me ask you, is this something that you could consider of yourself? Could you say that you are innocent before God? That you are whole? That you have one whole mindset? That you're blameless? That you as well have honesty before Him? These are all different aspects of integrity, and David looks to God and says, here is my integrity. Though it may be broken, though it may be who I am, here is who I am, God, and I want you to change me. He said, just judge me according to my integrity. You know, there's a story when I was younger, when I read it, it was called Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And now Dr. Jekyll, he was a scientist that, in the fiction, he was the scientist that somehow figured out a way to remove the evil from him. And so he removed the evil and it became Mr. Hyde. Now in this story, Dr. Jekyll was great at the beginning of the story, but there was something that came up that he felt Mr. Hyde would be really good for. And so he decides, you know what, I'll switch to Mr. Hyde real quick. And he switches and then does the deed and returns back to his normal self. And the next time an event comes up, he says, you know, that worked pretty well. I'm going to try that again. And so he switches again to Mr. Hyde. And worked out well enough. He jumped back into Dr. Jekyll and life went on. However, as he continued to do this progress, he found that it became harder and harder to switch back to Dr. Jekyll, having become Mr. Hyde. And eventually, at one point, he no longer could control the Mr. Hyde. As the story goes, Mr. Hyde took complete control, and he was the one that decided when Dr. Jekyll would come out. You know, in the exact same way, if we try to split our motives and we have something in the secret versus something we do in public, sooner or later, the two will become one and the same, and what we have done in private will become evident. That is the integrity. Integrity is what you're doing even when nobody's watching. There's another way. It's the quality of being honest and having a strong moral principle, or it's the state of being whole and undivided. At the very moment that you have divided your personality into being what you are in the public and changing it from what you are in private, you have split integrity. You no longer have a whole countenance. And God, or even as David looks at, he says, judge mine integrity. Judge what I do alone. Look at who I am, who I really am. And God, I want you to judge me. You know, there's a principle, as I was looking through this, the principle of being dishonest in the small things is dishonesty in everything. So in other words, if you go into a store and you happen to grab a pen and walk out, sure, that's a small thing. Nobody's going to care. But at what point is it going to be that you finally do recognize that as dishonesty? What is it that you're finally going to be walking out of the store with that you say, okay, that was dishonest? You know, at some point, the small things of life truly do define who we are. We can't overlook the small things because God always has a larger view of sin than we could ever imagine. And yet, He is merciful. Now, granted, yes, accidents happen, and people are more than willing to forgive accidents. But the truth is we should never justify our personal life and say, oh, it was just a small thing, in comparison to what God has done for us on the cross. He says His grace is more than sufficient. It's more than able. And so as much as we see the man that had gone directly against God so many times, and he turned to God and said, I'm the one that has sinned, so too also we should recognize those small things that we have done as well as sin. Now I think this is the interesting part, is because David is not looking at this in a negative sense. In fact, this whole passage seems as if he is in such confidence with God. He's walking with God in such confidence, knowing he is innocent before Him. And he's saying, God, I want you to judge me. And the first principle I'd like to bring out of a man of integrity is someone who walks with God, or put it this way, is willing to be examined by God. Someone who is willing to say, examine me. prove me, try my reins, or try my affections and my heart. Try every ounce of me, God, because I want you to be the one directing my life. You know, when we look at that principle, so many times we're not willing, or we have this tense inside when we go to God trying to confess our sins. And yet, time and time again, every time, well, let me put it this way. When one of the journeys, I guess, God has put me on is in the very fact of confession. You cannot walk with God without confession. It doesn't work. In fact, the very passion that you have in how sinful you are many times translates to the very passion you will have for the souls around you. It's the very passion that you will have for praying for individuals that need prayer. And time again, it is within the time of confession that you find the victory that you can obtain for others. And you can go to God in so much confidence. But every time you try and hold something back, you're holding back something from God, and you obtain nothing in the miraculous realm when you go to pray for others. Because it's as if you're holding back from them too. It's you're trying to restrict God from working in their life. Because you're restricting God from working in yours. And so I tell you, confession is the very first aspect of any principle when we desire to walk with God. Now, yes, we need to come before God and recognize who He is, just as David does here. He says, Jehovah. He says, my only God. But the truth is we have to recognize that we ourselves never match His principles. And we can continue to grow. We can continue to be changed and molded by Him every time we come before Him. The other thing I'd like to look at is, well, first off, a psalm, okay? Many times a psalm, and in fact, many of the Hebrew just writings are built off of something kind of like a bracket-based system. And so they say something at the very beginning, and then they will repeat themselves at the very end. And though this isn't the main point, this is the very foundation for what they're talking about. And the other thing they'll do is they'll continue to bracket in, and they'll say it's something second, and they'll say something second to last. And then they'll say something third and third to last. And at the very center is many times the climax of what they are trying to get across, the very point of everything that they're trying to culminate to. It's like the climax, the crescendo. And so here we have this idea here in verse 7. It goes all the way down. Well, here, I'll take you through it. Verses 1 through 3 talk very much about the integrity of David. And you look in verses 11 through 12 and we see integrity again. We see a foot standing on an even place. We see a blessing to the Lord. In verses 4 through 5, we see the second section, which is, I will not sit with vain persons, neither will I go with the dissemblers. And in verse 9, he says, I will gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men. And so we've moved from the outside one of integrity to then the next step in, which is I will separate. I will separate from the wicked. And you know, I think this is another key for integrity. For a man of integrity must be someone who is willing to separate from the world. Willing to be someone who doesn't care what other people around think, but only cares what God has given him. And this very aspect many times can be applied to so many different areas of life. But even music, even your prayer time, even the time you spend watching movies or whatever it happens to be, make sure that it is in separation from the world. Because these things, these very aspects, David looks at it and recognizes that he doesn't want to be seen as someone sitting with the world. And it, right there at the verse 9, where it says, gather not my soul with sinners. He's talking right there about how when I die, or when you rapture and pull me to heaven, Lord, don't let me be found with the sinners around. Let me be found walking with you in your fellowship. And so each one of these different aspects, I think, are vital to a Christian walk. Well, specifically a walk of integrity. If we're going to be clean on the inside, it means we have to make separation choices that are seen on the outside. And again, every person's convictions can be different. It doesn't have to be one person's convictions. It has to be applied to another. And yet it needs to be simply that you are directed by God for yourself. From God's word that you have found the truth and applied it to your life. However, the next segment in is he looks at the first one, which was the integrity. He also goes to the next one, which was the vain persons. He's separation. But then the next one in, it seems as if he is talking about the temple of God. Now, if you'll remember, David did not have a house of the Lord that he actually was able to go to. It was still the tabernacle. The Lord specifically said that you cannot build the house of God, even though he desperately wanted to. And his very heart in verse 8, it says, I love the habitation of thy house and the place where thy honor dwelleth. He also talks in verse 6 about compassing the altar, washing his hands in innocency. And you know, as much as he separates himself from something, he separates himself to something. And that is God. That is the temple. That is worship to God. And so a man of integrity must be one that is willing to look to God for guidance, look to God for a walk day by day. You know that songwriter, day by day and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. I think the songwriter had it right when he understood it was every moment of the day that must be in surrender to God, that must be looking to him for guidance, not just because we desire to somehow look good, but rather because he deserves every ounce of our time, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. But I think right here at the very end, you have the climax. Verse 8 is very much the climax of what it seems to be he's pushing towards. And here it is, he says, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. All of thy wondrous works. You know, there is a certain confidence and a certain peace that comes when you know you are pure before God. When you know you are walking with God and you have complete innocency with him, there is a confidence that you can have that is so very different than what the world can give. It's only something that can be found from God. And this confidence, this peace, is only able when you have truly come before him in integrity and you recognize yourself as the one that has sinned, as the one who desires to see his face, as the one who is separated from the world, and as the one who is willing to do all for him. At that very instant, we can see that he has given us a voice of thanksgiving. All of the questions in our mind as to why we have to do these certain things for God, or perhaps the questions of doubt or confusion, they all become tunes of thanksgiving to God, because he is the one that has redeemed us, has saved us from our sins, has freed us from this world, has given us a purpose in life and a direction that is far more miraculous than anything we could ever do. And that comes because we have integrity with God, because we have a heart that is innocent before him. Each one of these different aspects build up to the man of God, a man that must be one walking with God. That is a man of integrity, a man who knows that he is pure before God. In the very first passage, we see that he looks at talking about judging me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I will not slide. You know, when someone is walking with God and they are trusting him, it is guaranteed right here by David that you will not slide. The wicked, many times David's writing, the wicked are the ones that are on a slippery slope. They're the ones that cannot seem to stand. And I think there's a certain thing when you are walking with God, you know, you have a confidence, you have that walk that is strong. Not because in some way you're feeling the right things, not because in some way it's just you're doing the right things, but because when you go to God, you can recognize yourself as a sinner. You are honest before him. And in your honesty, you can become innocent before him. That is the very idea of a man of integrity. someone who is willing to walk with God. There's many different other examples through the Bible of men walking with God. When you think of even Daniel, Daniel was a man that walked with God because his integrity held true. 70 years later, after he had made the choice to not defile himself, he could still stand up, not having a church around him or a synagogue of that day, not really having other believers around him, but yet because he had made a choice and his integrity stuck, he could then stand up and still pray to God in complete purity and complete thanksgiving, despite the commands that were placed against him. The other one I would think of is Job. It says multiple times through Job how he had integrity. And I think the key to Job's integrity is the fact that he was trusting God. And as much as we have David, and he was honest before God, and really Daniel, and he chose to obey God, Job simply trusted God. And so many times if we try and do this ourselves, and we try in some way obtain this integrity for ourselves, it won't work. It will always just not fit right with our personality. It just won't be able to somehow merge with who we actually are. And that's where walking with God comes in. You know, there's a concept of struggle theology that is many times applied for Christians, where we just have to bucker down and we just have to really bull our head way through this life of Christianity. And the truth is that's not the way God has ever created us to be. He has made it so that we can come before him in transparency and honesty, and he will change us. He will make us different. Now, granted, we should not come passive transparent, where, okay, God, this is just who I am. But we can come to God actively and recognize who we are and know that he will make a difference. This is the only answer for walking with God, is coming before him. You can't do it yourself. You can't even try and just accept yourself. You must come to God, accept in honesty who you are, and believe him for his path that he has guided you to. So then, a man of integrity must be one who, first off, is honest before God. He's willing to be examined by God. Then, he's someone who is willing to separate himself from the world, willing to step aside from the gains and desires he has. And then he's willing to look to God to fill the desires that he needs, find the fulfillment there. And then finally, he then can have confidence and peace in who he is in God. You know, there's many times where when we walk with God, the confidence comes because we can know that God is walking with us. We don't have to wonder if we're on God's side, if we're on his. And every time that we're willing to be humble and honest before him, that is all it takes. You know, so many times we try and excuse things off because we think, well, it's just who we are. Or, well, that was just a mistake. But you know, God desperately wants us to just humbly come before him, accept who we are, accept what we've done, and then trust him to change us. That is really the only aspect, the only walk of God that will ever change us into men of God. There's a phrase that Nike has. It says, just do it. That's their phrase, right? And every time that you see a Nike shoe or see something like that, it's got the idea of just do it. But I wonder, why don't we just do right? Why does it have to take some certain principle or some certain idea that we have to somehow obtain to? It should come down to the very fact that since the Bible says it, we do it. Since the Bible asks of us to confess our sins before God, we do it. Since the Bible asks of us to be walking pure before him, be honest with him, then we do it. So then, just do right. And it's a harder thing to do than actually say. But the truth is that's where the integrity is going to come. You can't ever get back a failed integrity. But you can build some new ones. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this time. Dear Lord, we thank you that you have provided us with integrity, and that we can know for sure that you are guiding and you are directing each of us. Dear Lord, I do pray as we even go throughout this week, Lord, that you would continue to, Lord, that you would make us honest before you, Lord, that you would make us so that we can come before you and recognize you for who you are and what you deserve. So God, we thank you for this, and we do pray now that you would guide us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Nathan. Thank you for that. What a call to be open and honest before God, and to be the same wherever we're at. And that can only happen when we walk with him. It's very neat to see that open up in terms of that passage and see how it does take brokenness before him to be honest. And it does make a difference if we'll be honest with the Lord and come clean and allow him to clean us and put his finger on things. I really, really appreciate that point that he was making in terms of a lot of times it's in the confession of our own sin that we meet the Lord and carries us through in terms of giving us that spiritual passion for other people and for the lost around us. And really, that it feels like there's blockage between us and the Lord, and we have to get that clean and removed. And when we have that confidence with God, 1 John talks about that. Boy, we know that our prayers are going to be heard. And may we walk out of here willing. To be quite honest, it's not just going to hear a message. The only way you're going to have this kind of integrity and that kind of walk is when you go home and spend some time with him. And just say like David did, judge me, O Lord. Examine me and really stay long enough to hear the voice of God to say, this is what I want you to change. This is what I want you to confess. And God will speak to us. And God will keep on working on us. I pray that you have that open heart towards him. And what a good challenge it is. And I know the Lord's speaking in my own heart about things that he wants me to confess towards him as well. So what a great challenge. Thank you, Nathan, for God's word impacting your life and allowing it to impact ours as well. Well, let's have a word of prayer and we'll dismiss for the evening. Dear Father, Lord, it is difficult to be open and honest before you. And yet, Lord, we can't hide anything from you. You know the motives of our hearts. You know the pride that we have. You know the selfishness. You know the greed, the covetousness. Lord, you know the envy, the jealousy that we have towards others. Lord, how we use our tongues to build ourselves up and tear others down. Lord, there's so many things that our hearts and the flesh can desire that are contrary to your word. And yet we can pamper those desires and feed that flesh and quench your Holy Spirit. Father, we want to walk in integrity before you, in openness and honesty in our relationship with you, so that, Lord, you can speak to anything in our lives and we will address it. Lord, we'll ask for your forgiveness and for your power to be changed and transformed by your grace. Lord, we just pray that you would give us, Lord, what we need in the Lord Jesus Christ for this week. And Lord, help us to walk from this place in the power of the Spirit so that we might say with David and really ultimately with the Lord Jesus, I have walked in my integrity. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you're dismissed. Thank you.